New year, new talks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. President-elect Barack Obama is getting together with congressional leaders next week. On Monday, they'll discuss Mr. Obama's plans to jumpstart the economy. He's pushing a stimulus package valued at more than $700 billion. But some Republican leaders already sound defiant. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Republicans are worried that Democrats who control the House and Senate could try to increase the size of President-elect Obama's stimulus plan to close to $1 trillion. And Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's warned his party won't simply roll over or offer a rubber stamp. The Obama plan will include massive infrastructure spending, an extension on unemployment benefits, as well as aid to states facing increased costs for services like Medicaid. But interests as diverse as zoos and aquariums to U.S. steelmakers are also lining up for a piece of stimulus pie. American steel executives told the New York Times they'd like the bill to include a Buy American clause. And the U.S. Conference of Mayors put forward a plan that includes $6 million for heating a swimming pool in Maui. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Talks are likely to begin again between Russia's Gazprom and Ukraine. Bloomberg reports this morning that the Ukrainian president, Viktor Yushchenko, says the two sides are close to an agreement. The natural gas monopoly shut off supplies to the former Soviet republic, saying Ukraine owes $2 billion. The shutoff has ramifications for European supplies because a gas pipeline runs through Ukraine. When questioned about siphoning gas from the pipeline, Ukraine says it won't pull any more than is needed to alleviate pressure in the line. Gazprom doesn't like that answer. Manufacturing among countries using the euro currency has tanked in December to record lows not seen in the Purchasing Managers Index, the PMI Index, in their 11-year history. China's not faring much better either. Factories there slashed output and workers at a record pace last month. No matter, things are on an upswing this first trading day of 09. Some Asian markets were still closed for the holiday, but the Hang Seng shot up 4.5%. European shares are up by about 1%. The Dow reopens this morning after the New Year break. For 2008, the Dow fell 34%, the worst yearly showing since 1931. I think you know what was going on then. The S&P 500 lost 38.5% for the year. The NASDAQ was down more than 40%. Here we are in a traditionally bad month for Broadway, but this year the white lights could be dimmer and less profitable. Andrea Gardner explains.
In light of falling ticket sales, Broadway producers are closing the curtain on a number of plays and musicals. Among them, one-time box office hits like Monty Python's Spamalot and the teen musical Spring Awakening. Even many lower-budget roadshows around the country are feeling the pinch and are being forced to cut costs. Broadway is hoping for a stronger second act this spring. Gordon Cox covers theater for Daily Variety. He says it'll depend on investors, and right now, they are wary.
They're more comfortable holding on to their money right now than they are opening up their wallets to invest in what is always a risky theater production. And so the act of fundraising has become more difficult, even among those investors who regularly invest.
Shows currently attracting investors have attached big-name celebrities to guarantee ticket sales, or they have smaller budgets, so even a modest run might be enough to recoup initial investments. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Other parts of the Big Apple are feeling the pinch, too. No one is being spared, even city employees. Today's New York Times reports the city is asking employees to give back nearly 700 cars that the city owns. Many of the workers have enjoyed the vehicles as perks. Police, as well as other employees of parks and health departments, use the vehicles to travel the city. The Bloomberg administration says it'll sell many of those cars. It says the move could save $20 million over the next 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
This economic fallout is hitting pretty much everyone, unless you're a recluse and keep your money under the mattress. You know what's taken a particular hit? charitable giving, and nonprofits, a lot of them, are competing for donor dollars. Sean Powers reports.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Miriam's Kitchen. This morning for breakfast...
It's a few minutes after 7 a.m. at the Washington, D.C. food bank, Miriam's Kitchen. About 150 people wait for a warm breakfast. Volunteers serve pancakes, chili, and fruit.
And would you like grapefruit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Have a good day.
Miriam's Kitchen has a budget of $1 million a year, and a quarter of its support comes from local foundations and corporations. But as the economy tanks, some worry donors will use stricter guidelines to justify charitable giving. Lester Salomon at Johns Hopkins University is studying how the financial crisis affects nonprofits.
The old expectation that nonprofits were simply trusted because they were nonprofits, I think, is giving way to increased demands that they actually demonstrate their effectiveness.
Salomon predicts that will cost them the funding they so critically need. That's a concern of Sarah Gibson's. She raises money for Miriam's Kitchen. She's noticed many donors now ask for evidence of progress. She knows how many people Miriam's Kitchen feeds a year. But can she tell you how that changes people's lives in the long run?
Well, no, not at this point. That may not be possible, and it certainly is expensive.
As a result, Gibson says she's more conservative about the donors she approaches. Tom Gunderson with the Council on Foundations says donors should pursue other methods of evaluating progress. For example, with Miriam's Kitchen, grantmakers might want to observe and interview people the kitchen serves.
I don't think one model can fit all, and I think we need to be very, very careful that while we talk about increasing the impact and effectiveness of philanthropy, we don't suggest that there is one metrics that can be used to evaluate every grant.
Gunderson says charitable givers and nonprofits should work together to identify the best models to track progress. In Washington, I'm Sean Powers for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.